Hey guys, we are back. I know we just saw you on Sunday, but we are here to talk all about Jack and the funeral. So stay tuned to talk all about the episode, The Car.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Had to have some Atlantis in there.
What did Jack call her?
Lannis.
Atlantis.
Yeah. He's like, who comes up with these names? Yeah. I'm like, it's a beautiful name.
Which, another echo of what's happening now with baby names.
Oh my god, yes.
And all that nonsense.
Right. Oh god, don't even.
Happy birthday, Stormy! Just kidding.
There you go.
There you go.
Happy birthday. She was born on the 1st. That was like 5 days ago.
Happy
belated
birthday.
Why do I know that?
Because it's just taken over our lives. And as This Is Us has, I've literally been only seeing everything This Is Us in my newsfeed. I don't know whether it's because I look at this stuff all the time or if it's literally just blowing up, but everyone has had something to say about Sunday's episode, about Jack's death, and then about tonight with the funeral and finally saying goodbye to Jack. But it has been a whirlwind of emotions.
It might
be the Instagram algorithm, but yeah.
I'm going to take it as just everyone's talking about it rather than the Instagram algorithm. But, you know, I can dream. What's up, guys? Thanks so much for joining us twice this week. My name's Candace Cruz. You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz. I'm joined by my incredible panel.
What's
keep
up,
me together.
People? I am Keith Andre here. I've been feeling like deja vu all day long. Candace is become obsessed with all things This Is Us, and we're seeing that even as we watch the show, but we'll talk about that in a little bit.
And I'm Lena Nori. You can find me all over the internet at Lena Nori. And Candace cried again today. But at least today, it was the funeral. It was necessary for you to cry. But just every other time, I don't know.
Yeah, and speaking
it's
of
your
the,
turn.
And
go
speaking
ahead.
Of the funeral, that's why we're all wearing black, because we wanted to pay respects to Jack Pearson. I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
You going to throw a jab at me, too?
Not over here, girl. Not in this seat.
Thank you. Good. I appreciate you. I'm going to talk to you all night long.
How was it a jab?
Both of y'all giving me jabs about my emotions.
I'm just saying.
Things that we saw.
Yeah. She's found so much information about
I've literally been messaging them all day about, guys, did you see this? Did you see
this? Read this.
Oh, my God.
Now watch this.
I watched this.
Oh, and you guys don't even know that. So I wasn't here, obviously, on Sunday. And she messaged me. She sent me, like, this Instagram. You know, you can, like, send a photo.
Yes.
Oh, right. And then her and I on Instagram were going back and forth on what I thought about the episode. Like, she was so into it. I was like, listen. She's like, no, we're going to talk about this
we're
more.
We're going to address about this
We're going to address that when
address
the time is right.
When
but
the time is
that's
right.
How into it she is. She was just, we're going at it back and forth. And I was like, listen, this is how I feel.
We have anticipated this for so effing long. You can understand where I would
only
be coming from.
2 years.
Exactly. It's finally here. Let me breathe
it's
in
here.
This Is Us, okay?
It's happened, and I'm glad it's over.
I actually am, too. Yeah. I'm glad that, like, I feel like I have this weight that's been taken off
all
of me.
All this energy
built up.
You know why I'm happy? Is the preview of the next episode, which obviously we'll talk about later, is there's more Jack. At first, I was a little bit worried. Like, is this the end of Jack, or are we going to see him less?
Yeah.
And then there's Jack.
My mom brought that up today. I was talking to her. She's like, well, what are they going to do with Jack now? Like, he died, so is he not going to be there? I was like, Mom, he's been dead this whole time.
Right.
So it's not going to change anything. The formatting is still going to be the same. There's always going to be flashbacks of some sort, and Jack doesn't disappear up until they were 17. So there's still so much
but
more.
But they're really going into, like, his history, or at least that's what they're making it seem like.
I wasn't expecting that either, like you said. Seeing that they're saying, like, oh, this is just the beginning of Jack's story, was like, oh, wow. Because, you know, they had us believe from Sunday that we were going into the future.
I mean, but we still can. But again, there's just so much of Jack and even Rebecca that we still don't know.
And there's just so much to life. Like, tonight, talking about, like, the tree and the significance of this tree that we saw that introduced a couple episodes ago. In last episode,
But was it the same when Randall and William were going to Memphis? Isn't that where they stopped and where William sat on the bench and had that conversation with Jack?
See, I don't remember that.
So
I think it was last season.
I think it was the first introduction because he came and said, this is my dad's favorite spot or something like that. And then he has a conversation with Jack in that spot.
Yeah. So I think...
We were introduced a long time ago, but it was just now, like, again, all these gems.
Can I tell you guys something, though? The way they scripted Jack into the storyline where he's always...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Kind of been like this ghost or this spirit amongst like everyone's lives in the history was genius, because there's so many TV shows that I've watched. Like I was watching Vikings, and like when the main character died, I'm not gonna lie, like it takes away kind of like your desire, or a lot of people's desire to watch it. Like the ratings went down and everything, and it's still a great show, but this literally looks like just the beginning. Like, I feel like now we're going to divulge more into, like, his history, showing how it's affected the kids. Maybe, and it shows we're going to find out about his brother. Kind of talks about that for the first time ever. Right. In this last episode, we actually hear about the brother and him saying that he went to war with them. So I was like, this is amazing. Because if you think you're going to lose viewers or, like, lose kind of the momentum because you lose a main character, it's just the beginning. I think it was genius.
Yeah, so, I wouldn't think they would have that to worry about, though, because with this show, it's always, like you're saying, the format, this has always been how... It's not that we've experienced him more. Or that
he's always been dead. Less.
He's always been dead.
He has always been
dead. He's always been here.
It's genius.
Yeah, and the thing is like, again, I feel like I'm a damn broken record, but it's very much indicative of real life. Like, there's so much more that we don't know. Like, for the first time, we heard about the cancer scare that Rebecca had. Right. We've never heard of this. Right. And there's, like, there's only so much you can fit into an hour-long episode of these people's lives. And if you're encompassing, you know, 37 years worth of life to get to a certain point, inevitably, that's going to take up a lot of episodes to fill in the gaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just really loved the last two episodes. I'm going to kind of talk together as a whole for me, because I feel like they were one in the, like they belonged together. It was like a continuation. We're so simple and beautiful. And I watched a video, and we've got a clip for you guys later, of Mandy Moore even saying that it's like people are wanting something big and cinematic, because almost everything that we watch and we digest content wise is very cinematic and like cinematic, and it has a lot of like oomph to it, but this is just, it happens, you know. And it was so beautifully done, and like the range of emotions from everyone were just, even with the funeral too.
I don't think I can ever look at a musketeer again. Was that what she was eating?
No, it was a Mars bar. Yeah.
A Mars bar.
I thought it was
a
Three Musketeers too.
I thought it was a Three Musketeers.
A Mars bar, Twix, M&M's.
Yeah. Originally, I thought that's why it was Three Musketeers.
I was thinking about that because, you know, the video that you're going to show later, and she was saying that it was just supposed to be simple, is that is likely what, I mean, knock on wood, I've never had someone close to me pass away, or at least been in a situation where they kind of pass away or in front of you. I wouldn't know how I'd react. So you expect when you watch these movies and shows, there's like some big dramatic. And if you watch like ER, it's like crazy. And they're showing like the blood and they're showing the surgery. So I didn't get any of that. And I just hear eating a chocolate bar. And I'm like, I don't even know if I can look at a chocolate bar the same anymore.
Because
she took a bite after he's like, Jack's gone.
Well, she even said that haunted her for years because of that. Mm-hmm. And like, I've been through, unfortunately, in my lifetime, a lot of different deaths that were very close to me. And every single time, my reaction to it, I was never there for any of them. But the phone call that you get, it takes so long for you to process something that traumatic because a moment ago you were there or you were there and I could touch you or I could talk to you. And especially if you're not there physically with them, it's almost like it never really happened. Like if you don't see it happening, it's like being far away from someone and you just calling them and not getting to talk to them for a couple of days. It's almost like there's not that actual finality of it.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think to speak of it just like as a viewer of the show, for me, I felt that it was handled well. I think that the thing that we were looking for as far as like this big like cinematography, I don't feel that it was that. It was just that with the show, we're always forced to experience these big moments at the end of episodes. You know what I mean? That's always like a punch. That's always something different. So it was nice to see them pull back, and with his death just being something that happened that you don't get this overwhelming, you know, preparation for. I do agree with you that the episodes go together, and watching this one tonight, I don't know. I found myself feeling like, I don't know if it was lacking. I don't know if it was just me or what I had expected out of the show, but it took me a minute to like really get into it. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to get over a hurdle and like experience it and go through. But I think one of the most beautiful aspects tonight was just seeing like all the memories, because that's the real life bit where when you think of something and you have, you're forced with like all these emotions and symbolism. So
yeah, and I love that it focused around the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was so cool. Sweet. Yeah.
I was going to say, I echo what you're saying, Candace. I did like the quieter, simpler moments of this episode. Just when Rebecca would be like staring off, it was just because she was still processing at this point. And when she had to be there before the urn, it was because she was like, I wasn't there when he passed, so I got to make it up to him. It was just those simple moments that based it for me in reality. About people and their actual responses to things.
Yeah, because they reinforce it. And I like that we got to see each character's kind of vantage point. They all had these moments that they were touched with. And I really like the two boys, like seeing Kevin and Randall in the car, who experienced the what he would think of wearing a tie completely different based on their experience growing up. I thought that was so neat.
Because they're all seeing it through different vantage points. Exactly. So it's like, they each had their flashback of like putting on a tie and then him trying to learn how to do it, and then the frustrations and the impact between like everyone's grieving differently and everybody's having this hard time of like, how do we grieve together? But I'm so pissed off about this, or I'm so upset, right? Like, I'm trying to like be the man in the house. Everyone's like trying to figure each other out at one time.
Yeah, you know? And it shows that you also have to learn that we can view this person the same way, but that doesn't mean we experience them the same. So they were forced to like face that as well. The way you saw him may not be the way that I saw him, and that's okay, but I have to grieve him my way and you handle it yours.
Yeah. And I think the best part for me was they were showing kind of these little glimpses in history of the thought of Jack possibly dying. Like when they're in their car and he's trying to tell Rebecca, like, I want to outlive you. And he's like, no, not sorry. Not I want to outlive you. He's like, I don't want you.
You're going to outlive me.
Yeah, right. I want you to outlive me. And then he says, don't put me in the ground, like I want to be out. And then the scenes where the two brothers are fighting in the car, Randall's learning how to drive. Mm-hmm. And then he almost hits into that, I think it was like a FedEx truck or something. Yeah. And he makes them both walk home. And when they get back, he's like, I'm not always going to be around. Mm-hmm. Like, you two need to fix whatever problem it is that you guys have. Because at the end of the day, when your mother and I die, you guys are all you have. So I kind of really appreciated those moments, because it just makes you realize that you really just in life don't know how long you have with like the people you love. Mm-hmm. Like, we really take those moments for granted. Mm-hmm. So it shows all these little scenes. And then, you guys, even the scene where he's getting the car and he walks and he's like, let me talk to the guy inside, when he wants to get the Jeep. He tells the guy, he's like, I need a car that's going to keep my family safe. And then they show like the little flashbacks of how many times they hit different things.
Yeah, the and whole like,
and it's ultimately he's saying like, this car needs to shelter my family. And it's just, I think it was so beautifully put together in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The little flashback showing how he made these little indirect references about him not being around, and then it's, he's not around.
It's just so scary to think about, and I try not to think about it, but it's true. Like, we don't have, we have a limited time on this earth, and I think him being the patriarch of the family, he always was so strong and always fought for it. And like at the end when Rebecca was talking to Kate about like, I can never tell you how much not to beat yourself up. He was a grown man and he made that decision.
Yeah.
Like, just hit so home for me too, is that we think that everyone's so like indestructible. But at the end of the day, it's our decisions and like what happens in the minute seconds that all come together to create a life that can just ultimately be done.
Yeah. At any moment.
And that's what a lot of people after the episode on Sunday, they were still blaming Kate.
Yeah.
And even then I was thinking, well, Jack went in because Jack wanted to go in to save the dog. Yes, for Kate. But he didn't have to go in.
No.
Right.
Because
he also went in for the album, and he went in twice, by the way. People forget that he went and first got Randall, then closed the door, put him in the room, then went back out and got Kate.
Right.
Then went and closed the door. Right. And he didn't just come back with the dog. He came back with the album, her necklace, There's something else in there.
So like he was in there for a lot longer than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I did see. There was an article I found. Again, I looked at an article.
No, she found an article? No way.
I know. But it was these nurses that Twitter blew up.
I loved that.
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool.
But all the girls, not even all the girls, all the people that were nurses were watching the show and literally like, I can't focus right now because this could have easily been solved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But again, it was the 90s. Does that save anything? Does that help?
Well, not necessarily. I think it goes. I remember we were talking about how, you know, a part of the experience is like this willingness to suspend your disbelief. Reality. Yeah. So I think it was a bit of that. But too, I mean, things happen and things go unnoticed in, you know, medical professionals and accidents. So it very well could happen to, you know what I mean? It still could happen
today. Wait, so what were the nurses doing? Were they trying to break it down? I was like, they should have died?
Yeah, because they were saying, this is a sign of
They should have been overexposure. They should have been ready to intubate as soon as he came in. Mm-hmm. They should have had someone watching the monitors at all times. He should have been on code blue at this point.
How dare they?
Code red.
But also, I think if he had actually gone in the ambulance, that would have happened. But because they decided to take the kids to Miguel's, when he walked into the hospital, even though he had soot under his nose, they probably figured, oh, it might not be that bad. So we can just check him out, do the normal vital signs and everything like that. Nobody thought. But then it can happen in an instant.
Apparently this happened. Like, I was talking to my mom about all of this stuff, and she was told me a relative of ours actually had a widowmaker heart attack. So it's happened before. It happens before. Like,
of course.
Yeah. Like, just in the middle of his sleep, he just, done.
There's people that have, I mean, it's not the same thing, but, like, they dry drown, where they get so much water into their lungs, and they don't drown on the spot, but they end up dying later.
Yeah.
And they call it, like, so, I mean, no one had a crystal ball. And let's be real, they showed us a flashback of the FedEx truck. They could have easily been struck by the FedEx truck and died there. I mean, I don't think it's about specifically that moment of him dying. I just appreciated the whole episode altogether, kind of showing us how fragile life is. That at any moment you can just die.
I loved that he said, don't make plans for Saturday, and had the Bruce Springsteen. Oh, God, that broke my heart. When I watched that, like, we knew that it was going to be Saturday because they had already shown us the tickets. And then they go fast forward in the episode and he's like, don't make plans for Saturday. And then they didn't make plans.
Yeah.
Something else happened.
But it's all about...
I'm really sad.
It goes back to what he said at the dealership. It's all about wanting his family to be okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's all about wanting them to have those moments together. I don't know. They didn't make it clear. Did Kevin and Randall like Bruce Springsteen as well? Because I know Kate was kind of like, he's cool.
I think the only one we heard was Kate in the car. We didn't hear about Kevin and Randall.
But it was so the thing that his dad loved.
He let her skip school. That's like the coolest dad ever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I would be grounded for the rest of my life if my dad found me in the street somewhere trying to make it to Alanis Morissette to sign my CD.
But I loved how much faith he had in her.
She's like 13 then, right? Or 12?
No,
like
she was 17.
School? Oh, she's 17.
Yeah, 16,
17. But I admire how much he like put so much emphasis into her and, I mean, all of his children. And like, you should really pursue this music thing.
Mm-hmm. He called Alanis Morissette the complaining girl. What do you say? She's
with
like...
With the guitar.
Oh my God.
But she's wondering...
She won like 5 Grammys.
Now I'm wondering what the reason is that Kate hasn't pursued the music then. If it's something that her dad would have wanted.
I think we're going to find out. I think they haven't even begun to like tap into...
Yeah.
Because they're eating... We find out that that's why she starts gaining weight too.
It's like she kept driving by the house.
She talks about how she started eating because of her father's death.
But also, did she go to school? Did she? I bet you she never submitted that video because she still has it.
Probably.
Probably not. But to your point,
that
I think
was the, last
the
one.
Expectation would be if I'm this impacted and they did have this relationship, you would think that would be a driving force for her to follow and, you know, pursue that. But I think it's something that if she was faced with it, like let's say even if she did go to the audition, I think for like the fragility of like who she is, I don't think that she would have been able to get past it knowing that she had this video with her dad and how much he saw or believed in her.
And she feels responsible, too.
Yeah, and it could have been the one thing that they had, and that was their thing that they knew about together, and that's, like, something she wanted to keep private rather than...
You know what moment actually got me is when Kate's saying that she's going to give the dog away, how they didn't, like, lock the dog up before the funeral, and then the mom actually said, yeah, maybe you should. I almost felt like that further validated to Kate that it had something to do with the dog. Because if the mom was 100% like it had nothing to do with the dog, she'd be like, no, honey, why would you?
I think that she was just, you know, we're faced with this and you're talking about you're going to get rid of a dog. Okay, go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I think it can be perceived both ways.
I can see it both.
Yeah, I can see her perceiving it that way, but I can also see, like, mom's exhausted. Like, I just went through the ringer. I lost my husband. I lost my one person. Now I have three kids that I have to deal with. You all are arguing and complaining, and all I want to do is get to the funeral and make sure that he's there.
From Kate's perspective, that's where I can
see
that she thinks, because if your mom's, I mean, Rebecca's normally level-headed and very composed. I understand she's lost her husband, but her response was so quick. Yeah, maybe you should get rid of the dog.
I mean, it could just be where she was numb and she just was responding.
Yeah, that's what I think. Something. She was just like, okay.
I do that too. I'm just like, yeah, okay.
But I didn't like, I was kind of bothered by the fact that Kate was making that suggestion. I was like,
it's almost like that's like, it's not the thing you talk about, number one, right now at this point. And, like, you're almost trying to fix the situation and, like, or you want validation of someone saying, no, don't get rid of the dog.
Right.
If someone would have said, no, don't worry about it, don't get rid of the dog, then maybe that would have validated kind of like, well, then it really wasn't him that did it.
That's what I think she was, what Kate was trying to say.
She wanted someone
to respond.
Hey,
we should get rid of the dog anyways because of what happened. So when the mom said, yeah, maybe we should, which I'm not saying she said it for that reason.
Right.
But it's kind of like if you saw Kate's reaction. Like, when the mom said that, that's how I would have taken it if I was Kate. Like, oh, wow. She is like, this is a reminder. Let's get rid of the dog.
And I think that, going back to the end of the episode that we were just talking about, I think that's why Rebecca said what she said to Kate about he was a grown man who made his own decision. Because it finally registered that she's like, you're wanting to punish the dog for something that wasn't his fault.
Right.
Listen to me when I tell you, like, your dad made that decision on his own. I think that's why.
And he went to go get an album. Like, think about how much time that would take. He ran and got the album. Ram got her necklace.
Yeah,
there's no way they were all in one area.
We gotta give up some of that for TV. Yeah.
But at the same time, even if he wouldn't have gone back in the house, he was still exposed longer than anyone else to.
Right, and especially to your point, Leah, like you said, he did get Randall close the door. Get Kate close the door. So even that could have been, even if
and
he
it could have been
back,
infection with his hands. Like when he did that, it could have been that caused it too. There's so many different outlying factors that could
have.
And
wasn't he a smoke? Was he just a drinker or was he also
a
smoker?
A drinker.
They just never showed him smoke?
No.
Yeah, no, you
don't think
drinking.
So.
I thought, I was on Twitter with someone and I was just having a moment where, you know, after they get out, I was like, wow, they very much could have presented this show and he still be alive. Granted, it'd be a completely different show,
right?
But for a moment I was just like, well, he could have, you know, lived and been This Is Us. But
that's alternate
that
universe.
Exactly.
alternate universe
I mean,
I wonder if they'll
do
an episode like that of like, what if Jack lived?
I hope not. I think that
this show is too real.
Unless
Randall and Beth have their little fun time in the backyard like she and William had with the
Can
we talk
world.
About this scene at the funeral where Randall and Kevin are fighting over the watch, or more so Kevin? Listen, I know Kevin's a punk. At least Kevin at that age has always been a punk. But I can also see where, when something like that happens, he's kind of like looking over, seeing Randall wearing the watch and being like, you gave it to him. But I think my favorite moment is Rebecca just getting up and walking out.
Yeah.
That was just like, I have no time. Like, I think that was a moment where she was having her breakdown and she was like, I'm just gonna go outside, I cannot
handle it.
And I'm a doctor, you guys, I love the doctor.
I think that's been the, just to take a second to stick with Randall and Kevin, I think both of their parents' reaction to them has been like the reality of their relationship. And what I was really impacted by with Jack, when he was like, you know what, it's up to you guys. Either you're going to fix it and y'all are going to be this, or you're not. But as a parent, at a certain point, you have to remove. It's nothing that you can do to create, you know, even the tightest of bonds between siblings. And like for me, I've talked about my twin before, and that's where I felt like, oh, wow. But we always talk about how, you know, you're faced with however much time, it's just what we have. You never know. And at a certain extent, as a person, you have to be just okay with knowing that this could go by and we not may very well, you know, have the best of relationships, but what can you do about it? I thought it was like such a human mm-hmm. moment for both of them to have their experience. Granted, I think that they grew out of that and they still are bonded, but it does show like the weight of them trying to have this sibling.
Yeah. Moment. And him even grabbing the arm at the end. Yes. That's all that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. That's all that needed to be done.
To clean slate it.
And I can understand both. Like, they've got very differing personalities. Randall is very much like, if I need to stand up, I'll stand up. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be the dad. Let me be the dad. Let me do what I need to do to take care of everybody. Because even when Jack was getting out, he was like, you're going to take care of your mom. He's always been like, the taking care of type. Yeah, even the nurturing
with all,
type.
Even with mm-hmm. all the apologizing that he does after anything with his mom or dad, he's like, I'm sorry. He just wants to fix things.
Exactly.
And he wants to do that.
And that's just him. And so to see him doing that conversations at the funeral of like shaking hands and making sure everybody's taken care of and like blah, 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 blah. He's just taking care of his mom.
Yeah.
He just wants to make sure that she can do her thing. Let me take care of everybody. But I can also see where Kevin would be like, I can't imagine having that many siblings and like everybody wanting a piece of like what was left, that I would get angry too. And even his argument of like, of course it was given to you. Of course it was.
Right.
He's always had this animosity towards
And I think
Randall.
That's still like a real life moment because you are faced with whatever my insecurity or am I going to get something? Am I not? I think by this point,
and he already
gotten
the necklace. Though.
I was going to mm-hmm. head.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he's already
in the hospital.
Exactly. So.
And I think it's. I think actually more than, you know, we always talk about Jack and Rebecca's relationship or Beth and Randall, is the relationship between Randall and Kevin is, to me, very important because as I'm getting older, you hear stories, your friends talk about it. Siblings, especially because, you know, your parents, they're older and, you know, there's always like a barrier between a parent and a child is that you didn't really choose them. Everyone's born with different personalities. Mm-hmm. Your family, it's blood. Friends are the ones that you choose that their personalities are most like you. So what I love about the dynamic of their relationship is that it shows what two real siblings. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're not blood or what the case is. I know that like maybe some people might say, oh, it's because he's adopted. But no, that is how siblings sometimes, especially if they're from the same sex and close in age, react. It's mm-hmm. that they're not the same person. They have two different personalities coming together, trying to conjoin them. And I like the fact that they show this because I talk to a lot of people. And one of the main things that they talk about when they are referencing the show is the sibling reaction. Like, hey, mm-hmm. there's always somebody that doesn't get along with her. Two sisters don't get along or two brothers don't get along. And I think it's important that they show that dynamic because people kind of have like something to relate to. Like, oh, it's not just me because exactly. you're not born with the same exact personality as somebody else.
No.
And family, it's kind of like forced on you. You're forced to try to make it work. So in that scene with Jack, like to me, that was like such a huge and important scene where he's like, hey, when we die, this is all you guys have left, is each other. Because really, friends, yes, some friends that you have, they become family for a lifetime. But really, family, you are bonded for a lifetime. And I really hope that we can see in the future the 40s and see that they kind of
Well, I think we are going to see that now. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah. I mean, we did already see a flash forward of Tessa and mm-hmm. Randall. So I think that is going to be an element of us, like, progressing forward and seeing the future and seeing the relationships and the dynamics of all of them and what goes on. But I just really, really liked it. We didn't see much of Kate's relationship with the boys, though, this episode. She kind of kept to herself other than, like, do you guys see where we're at kind of thing, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, to go back to Kevin and Randall, I did like that argument that they had that spawned from the watch where Randall broke it down and was like, well, you weren't even here.
Oh, God, because, yes. Thank you.
Because Kevin was trying to make Randall feel like
he
shouldn't get the watch. And Randall was like, well, you weren't even here to get the watch. So how are you coming at me when I was here to protect our mother and our sister? And you have the audacity because I'm shaking somebody's hand that I want to be the man of the house. That's not what it is. I'm doing the responsible thing. I'm taking care of not just our mother, but I'm taking care of everything having to do with. Yeah.
And
you're sitting there with Sophie.
And we got to see a little bit of Kevin's frustration, like dealing with, you know, not being there and deciding how he interprets his father's death, because he said a real man would have kept him from going back in the house.
That was so nasty of him to say, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, be real, he could have said that to his sister about the dog. Not that there's truth to that, but there's more truth to that than saying, you let my dad go back in like a grown, but you're gonna tell a grown ass man you can't go back in there. Of course he's gonna go back in there.
And the situation could be completely different. Like, you weren't there.
And that's why I was glad that we got to see Randall give a rebuttal, because usually he'll take time, or I'm sorry. He was like, oh, of course. I mean, you weren't there. You're never around.
You've never been there.
So what do you want me to do?
Which, they were exchanging knives back and forth.
I was going to say, that's like equally nasty, though.
Flip.
Yeah.
Like,
but that's why Rebecca was like, I'm walking away.
I was so glad she did that. I thought she was chasing after them. When she walked out, I was like, yeah, that's the moment that you're like, you guys can't even love it alone for one night.
And I think it's a moment of like, I'm out. Like, you guys can figure it out. And sometimes it's even worse whenever a parent does that and they don't say anything. Oh my God, I'd rather them yell at me than like them just say nothing or be disappointed in me.
I wasn't expecting them two to go out at the funeral. I was expecting to get from Kate more of the self, like, it's my fault that my father died. Like, I was expecting more of that. Her to kind of
internalize the hell out of that.
That's inside. Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, we already see that with the videotape 20 years later. And the urn, and not wanting to dump out all of it. And she's the one that still has the urn. Keep in mind.
Yeah.
But that's why I was glad that she has the urn, because I was thinking, well, did everybody get something from, you know, left from their father? And I realized she got the urn. So.
And I like the way that they honored, well, Rebecca, because I don't think the kids knew that he wanted to be outside. He didn't want to be in the ground. Mm-hmm. I like the way that they honored him, because sometimes you'll see where people will put ashes in the water or in some other form or fashion, but they put it by his favorite tree that wasn't his favorite tree until like 2 years earlier. Yeah.
But the weirdest part was when she's like, not all of it. I was like, wait, what are you going to do with the rest? What do you mean not all of it?
She wanted to
have it in the urn.
No, I know, but like, think about it. In the moment when she said that, I'm like, what? What do you mean not all of it?
I felt that where she was going, like, oh, you know, we're doing this, but I still want to keep, you know.
I've never had an urn of anybody.
My best friend, her father passed away years ago in college, and they had these little, like, different color urns that each, he had like six children, maybe more, but each of them has a bit of the ashes.
And that's what I was thinking was going to happen, but then I remember we saw the urn at still one of the football same. Games. Yeah,
because, Toby. And Toby was talking to him.
Yeah, he asked him Kate's hand in marriage, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like, too, that, because a lot of the times, you know, if a lot of people aren't fortunate enough to have conversations about death or the way they would want things to go, and you know, without it happening. So I'm glad that he, you know, grabbed Rebecca and was like, no, I know you don't want to talk about this, but let's just be clear. Do not put me in the ground.
And that's something, too, that we don't ever talk about, but it's something that I feel like we inevitably have to talk about at one point or another with someone and have that uncomfortable conversation.
Well, that's what your will's for, too, though.
Well, yes, but like, what if you don't have a will? Like, he wasn't old.
Right.
Most of the time you wait to do a will later on in life. Mm-hmm. Most of the time people don't always have that. Like, God forbid something happens earlier in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't have that, hopefully you've had that conversation of, do you want a DNR? Do you want to be, want to be an urn? Do you want to have a funeral? Like, all of this stuff. And especially when you've been with someone for 21 years, that conversation has to happen somewhere.
I actually, I don't know why I'm laughing when I'm saying this. I created a will like a few years ago. And I remember I told my parents about it. Oh, I mean, you want to like make sure
you
dot your I's and cross your T's. And I remember my mom and dad were so upset about it. They're like, why would you make a will? And I'm like, because I want, like, if God forbid something happens to me, for your finances to go in order, or like whatever your situation is. And then it says, like, who gets the ultimate decision on if God forbid you're in a situation you know, like being in a coma or whatever. And I remember it was one person, and the parent that wasn't picked was like so upset about it. I was like, first, y'all are mad that
and
I
then
have
now
a will.
Of course it is.
I tell you guys, and maybe I shouldn't have said who it was, but they asked me, and I said, they're like, well, why do you have a will? And I said, it's important because, and of course I picked the parent that's a little bit less emotional. I mean, you guys could guess what that is, but because I've heard stories of people that die like super young, and like their finances get tied up, or like situations happen where they don't have, or you have to go to court and fight over who can make the final decision on the individual, because like we said, you know, you expect that things are going to happen when you're older, but that's not always the case.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, look at Jack. He was young. But, I mean, another thing I kind of
want to... You guys are all going to go to, like, sign your wills after this.
No.
No.
I'm good on that.
But I have told... I mean, I've had a discussion with my parents because I've had a lot of friends that were my age and younger that have passed. So, I mean, it's been a conversation. And obviously, it's going to evolve throughout your lifetime. Right. Of, like, where you're at in that point when it gets closer to that time. But lightheartedness conversation part, though, of the car. Because I really, really enjoyed all the little moments that they had in the car. Like, when they were going over the bridge. I thought that was so significant at the end when she's driving to that concert and drives over that bridge. And she looks down, and then she looks up and has this face of determination on. Like, I've got this.
Because by that point, she has, you know, taken hold of this whole experience. And she's made the decision, I'm okay.
Yeah.
We're okay. And we can get through this.
Okay. Yeah, at the tree.
Yeah.
And then even with the doctor saying that, of, like, really calming her and talking her down off the ledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, like, I can only imagine feeling like something sitting in your chest. Like, it's just crushing you. Like, he's not here. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, to have someone that's outside of the family that has no other perspective other than this man that you've met a couple of times, that's taken the time out of his life to come and be with you and, like, really just talk to you earnestly and honestly, like, okay.
And
to let
you know that your husband wasn't perfect.
He came
to my office unannounced many times about how scared he was, how, you know, fearful of being a father he was. And I think that also allowed Rebecca to be like, okay, so it's not just me.
Yeah.
He just put on a brave face for me, but at the same time that I'm going in the closet or in the bathroom, like, hunching, crying, he's going to Dr. K crying.
Yeah, I thought that was a perfect point, because it did bring the humanity to Jack. And I think that viewers, we needed that as well, because more often than not, especially Lena and Candace, we get caught up with Jack and the ideal. And he's here. So she really needed to see, you know, I don't think if she wouldn't have had that experience, who knows how she would have overcome and
Jack
dealt with
that. Jack is perfectly imperfect. I don't think he's perfect.
No.
But
But he is, we do exalt him to a certain, degree because of, look at his impact. I think it's natural, but that's why I'm glad that they decided to bring in a character to show us the humanity of Jack. He's as terrified of things as you, Rebecca, and you can be a good parent too.
Mm-hmm. I love Jack, though, not because I think he's perfect, but because he is aware of his faults and accepts it and tries to fix it. I don't think he sits there and tries to, like, make himself look like he's perfect. You know, he has had hesitation about being a father, so he was going to Dr. K. You know, and he's probably sitting there. And what I loved about the scene with Dr. K is that we constantly see that Rebecca has to be so strong. Like, in the scene when she's walking in the last episode, and Miguel's, like, starting to tear up when she tells him, she's like, if you need to go walk around the block and come back, then you go do that, because we're going to do this and we're going to be strong. So I feel like the Dr. K moment was the moment for her to kind of let go
and release
and show not just that, but show her fear, because she said, she goes, I didn't even want to have kids. If you guys remember in the bar scene, they were watching football, ironically, and they turned around and something came up at the bar about kids, and she was like, well, I don't know if I want to have kids. And he's like, we'll talk about this later. And it's like, she's now left and she's wondering, you know, can I do this? Given the fact that it was really Jack that was kind of, like, stepping it up and stuff. So the Dr. Casey, I think, was very important for us to see that she is very hard on the exterior, but on the inside, she still has the fears like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, and then she realizes that Jack had those fears too. And it just kind of, like, gives her a moment. It was so cute. She's like, can we just sit here for a moment?
And one thing I want to point out about Dr. K, it's interesting that the impact that he had on their lives, both Jack and Rebecca, Rebecca more specifically at the funeral. But as people are mentioning in the chat, Rebecca's mom was there. And all we saw was them, I think, some kind of embrace. I don't know if it was a hug. It was very quick. And it's interesting that he became essentially a surrogate father to the both of them. And we get a long conversation between them, but for the mother, it's just interesting to me, that dynamic and how they showed, like, somebody can come into your life for a day and they make an impact for a lifetime, and then you can have somebody for a lifetime, you know, and they make an impact for a day.
I'd love to see Dr. K talk to Randall. I wonder if they're gonna give us that scene.
When did he die?
Yeah, he
Dr. K?
Yeah. Yes.
It had to be after
not long
now, after the funeral.
But was it future, I don't think. Or was it teenage kids. I would suspect it was teenage. Was it?
Because
I don't remember when he
somebody said that he was, I don't know if I just looked it up before we walked in here, but he was 73, I think, when the babies were born. So, you know, okay. 17 years later, he's almost 90. Yeah.
With a cane, he's looking good. You look good, yeah. Dr. K. What you doing?
And, mind you, I don't think that was his wife. That was his second wife. I mean, it was his wife. He introduced her as his wife.
That was his second wife.
Right, but he had gotten married.
He had been married.
Is this fake wife?
His first wife had passed away. Mm-hmm. And so it was nice to see that he actually, because I think at the end of that episode, he took the chance to go and have dinner with, I think, Anne, who was with him. Mm-hmm. I believe that was the woman. So he actually was able to move forward. I'm using that as an example to say, to show Rebecca that she could be able to move forward as well.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, it's funny. Speaking of that, I'm starting to like Miguel. When I saw Miguel's speech saying that at his mom's... I know, seriously, I can't believe this is happening.
I'm not even going to listen to it. Next week, it'll be...
Excuse you. I'm trying to throw Miguel a bone right now, okay?
Go ahead.
No, but in this, I just want to say... His speech was beautiful. He's comparing him to his mom. Like, okay. That's...
I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna let you talk about his speech, but I will say I'm gonna let you finish. But when Miguel came on the screen, did y'all hear Lena's expression?
But that was before when she saw him.
So I just want to throw that out.
I didn't say I love Miguel now. I said I'm starting to. But okay, listen. I'm the viewer, and I'm watching what they're giving me. They've been giving me Miguel as like the guy that just came in. That's the way they've been showing him. Now they're showing him in a completely different light. In the last episode, they show that he couldn't handle the news of Jack's death. Mm-hmm. In the speech today, he's talking about comparing it to the death of his mother. And he's saying that Jack told him to take a breath. And what was the exact word?
Take a sip of water.
And take a sip of water. And he said, there's not enough water to help me get through this death. And that's insane that he's comparing... his mother's death and Jack's death like that.
Even at the bar when they were all like ragging on Jack, like the outsiders, he's like, hold up. Mm-hmm. Now you're stepping on my territory. Mm-hmm. So he's always been protective of Jack.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, no, I'm not a huge fan of Miguel yet. I'm getting to the point to where I like him a little bit more because I know that he didn't come in.
Why aren't you jumping down her throat right now?
Because I'm being, hold on.
She hates Miguel too.
She's saying how she feels about him.
I am. And I lost my train of thought now. It was so good too.
There you go with that self-confidence, Candace.
My God, it was so good.
You're starting to embrace Miguel.
Yes.
You know that he didn't come.
Because he has always been defensive of Jack. So ultimately, he's always going to be protective of Rebecca. Because that was his precious Rebecca. And as much as we see how much he loved Jack, I think it's almost an honor to his friend if it's coming from that perspective in a certain way. Number one, it's been such a long time between the death when they became a partnership.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm going to protect her for you. No one else on this earth has been there throughout all of this other than me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take care of her. He even leaves her to herself on that day. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the ultimate level of respect.
I thought that was huge. On Super Bowl, he kind of gives her space to make her lasagna.
Being a good human.
That's nice, too, but we don't get to see Miguel's side of it. Maybe Miguel has to go off by himself because he has his own honoring Jack in his own way.
But they haven't showed us that. That's what I'm saying. It's like now they're starting to show a completely different side to Miguel.
I think we're starting to see a little bit more and more and more to him. Because now he's so much more like ingrained in the storyline. Before we didn't really need to see all of that. But now with the death and him being the one that had the kids when they found out the news and him being the first person to hear the news outside of Rebecca, like there's so much more emphasis of who he is within their storyline rather than just the friend of Jack, you know, that we went to go get beers and whatever else.
You guys, that lasagna looked good. I was just thinking about
from last week.
I went to the gym before this and I didn't have food.
We're talking about funeral and she's talking about lasagna. Well, guys, before we run out of time, I did want to cover all of my news articles that we saw and a couple video clips. So we've got some
Candace
news.
Candace has got some news today.
Yes, I do. I'm going to pull up on my phone too. So I was on Instagram, per usual. And
what a surprise.
Don't be surprised. But E! News did a great job covering all of this. Mm-hmm. One of the first photos we're going to show you was from Entertainment Weekly. So Entertainment Weekly and E! News. It says there's a split screen of Jack and Rebecca. And it says, if you thought Sunday's episode of This Is Us was heartbreaking, just wait for Jack's funeral. I think that it's more gut-wrenching than the Super Bowl episode because people knew what to expect, Mandy Moore tells us. Tonight's episode is Rip Your Heart Out Sad. So that was their preview of what they were giving all of us before. So that's that Instagram. Clearly, I liked it. Because mm-hmm. there's a heart. But then the next one we have is Milo and Mandy, which...
I love this picture of them. Oh, God,
I love this picture of them. But the quote just broke my heart, and I started crying reading it anyway. Again, not a surprise. I was ultimately hearing her just break and fall into a million pieces, and that might have been the hardest thing to film, not because I had to lay still, but I was listening to my friend crumbling. And it goes on to be one other picture that they said, if it's a swipe one, we're always there for one another. We kind of made a pact like this since the very beginning. Let's make this couple real. So I can only imagine both perspectives of them, because when you're an actor, this is like you're succumbing to this situation and it's your reality. Like, this is your world, and to be laying there and you're helpless and you listen to this person like crumbling because someone is dead. Like, I can't. Oh, both on both sides.
Mm-hmm. You guys, I know they're just actors, but I wonder what their significant others feel like always watching their love and chemistry on set.
I think that's part of the job that you sign up for. You have to, especially when you're a performer. Like, you give yourself to that mm-hmm. role, and you're sacrificing something. So I think that's just.
I'm sure it's still difficult, even knowing it. It's still difficult, like, to watch this kind of love.
I don't know that it would be.
I think it's beautiful. Yeah. I think to be able to see that. And it's very much not Mandy Moore.
Right. I was going to say, I think when somebody's watching them, they see Jack and Rebecca. They don't see
exactly.
Milo and Mandy.
Because when you see them, their conversations, which we'll show the clip in just a second, Rebecca and Mandy, you can specifically see their nuances are very different. Mm-hmm. And just the way they speak and present themselves, it's just very, very different. But we're going to go ahead and show you the clip. It's a couple minutes, so listen to this.
Expecting his death and the circumstances around it to be so cinematic, when in reality, it's really ordinary. Like, Jack and Rebecca have this very ordinary conversation about, like, blaming one another for forgetting batteries for the smoke detector. And the last thing her husband says to her alive is, like, you're standing in front of the TV. And they have this cute little exchange where I stick my tongue out at him. And that's it. Like, there's no impassioned speech about how much they mean to one another. Like, it's so ordinary. And that makes it, like, 100 times sadder that that's their last exchange. Jack. People process things completely different. And when we shot the scene, I believe that Rebecca was, like, full steam ahead, walking into that room, expecting to recount, like, you will not believe what the doctor just tried to pull on me. And no one told me that Milo had stuck around. We had shot all of our other scenes there at the hospital together. But no one had told me that he had stuck around, so I had no idea. And apparently that was the first take that they used when I see him, when I see his body, and I didn't know that he was going to be there. So it was all the more jarring and upsetting and just indescribably sad. All of it felt so otherworldly to shoot. I'm going to get emotional talking about it because we've... you know, built the lives of these characters together for 2 years. There's so much history, like a shared history there and familiarity that when it came down to like really doing it, it was hard to like let go.
I mean, good for them. They did a fantastic job doing those scenes. And I mean, I just, good job.
Yeah. And like I had mentioned this earlier, it was amazing that Mandy was able to keep it so composed, because if she wasn't expecting Milo to be there and she walks in and he's on the bed, I'm surprised her reaction wasn't bigger.
I wasn't too surprised. I think I tip my hat off to her as an actor. Mm-hmm. I think that it makes sense. I would expect her to remain, you know, be able to hold her character together, as surprising as it was. But she did her work.
Yeah, she did. Mm-hmm. She did her work. It was great.
You guys, the way she even speaks in the interview, like, she's just angelic.
Yeah,
she's wonderful. If you ever meet her in person, she has this aura around her.
She's like, I just love Mandy Moore so much.
I love her. I think she's one of my favorite actors of all time.
I think she's really coming to her own with this role, to be honest. Like, I've seen her other work, and it's great. I loved Walk to Remember, still one of my favorite movies of all time.
She put a throwback, too. It was like the 15-year or something like that that just passed.
Yeah, but just this one, she's really transformed. But I think we had one other bit of news that you had found about our wonderful Dan Fogelman.
Yeah, just a shout-out to Dan Fogelman. He won TV Showman of the Year by the International Cinematographers Guild Publicist Award.
Yay! So congrats to him.
To him.
That's awesome. Well, guys, we are going to wrap this up, but just a reminder for you all that we will not be back for the next 2 weeks because we're going to be rooting on the USA in the Olympics.
Yes.
Yes, go Team USA!
Bring on the figure skating.
Let's go. Yeah, bring on the figure skating. But we will be back on February 27th to finish up the last three episodes of This Is Us, and it will be the finale will be on March 13th.
We will, but...
Am I doing it now?
Right.
Okay. We're going to rip off the Band-Aid.
Just rip it off. This is actually my finale. I will be moving back to the East Coast. And so I just wanted to thank everybody in the chat, everybody that's listened, everybody that's watched, you three for being a great panel.
Oh, we're going to miss
Don't
you.
Do it.
Just stay up late and call in.
I'm going to. I'm probably going to. You'll see me in the chat from time to time. Yeah. You know, this isn't the last you've seen or heard of me. But if you did want to keep up with me, you could on Twitter, or you can on Twitter, at Miss Airy Baby.
She's not dying.
She's still here, guys.
So really, this is not Jack's funeral.
Girl, funeral means death.
No.
On the after show.
We love you, Erica. Yes. It's been such a pleasure and an honor.
Listen, she's wearing a leather jacket. I love her just because of the jacket, okay?
Yeah. I was having a very sentimental moment. She's talking about a damn leather jacket.
She looks good.
Thank you.
I've loved working with you, Erica. We've all loved working with you.
Yeah, it's been fun getting to know
you. Listen,
we're
not saying goodbye. She's going to be on the chat.
15 weeks together.
And we're going to Skype her in.
I'm just bummed that I'll miss the last three episodes of the season.
Right?
I know. Being here. Yeah.
But thank you guys so much for sticking with us the last two episodes. It's been a wild ride, and there's been a lot of tears on my end and not anyone else's.
Because that's never happened before.
Hit me up and follow me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz, and let me know what your thoughts were. And if you have any other cool episodes, news, or Instagrams, send them my way because I always love reading more This Is Us.
Yes, I'm looking forward to what's to come with the end of the season as well. You can follow me on all social media at Keith_Andre. And like I said, I'm looking forward to figure skating. So tweet me about that.
Yeah.
And I'm Lena Nora. You can find me all over the internet at Lena Nora. And Eric, I can't believe...
This is your last time signing
off. A couple
off.
Of them found out tonight, too, so they're feeling the same
we
thing
didn't
as
have
you.
A moment.
But you can find Lena at Lena Nori.
Are you going to do your final sign off?
I don't have a final sign off, so I'll just say so long.
Farewell.
It's not goodbye. It's see you later.
All right.
Later, guys.
Well, you guys be sure to follow Erica, and we will miss you, and we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.